Revelation chapter number 7, chapter number 14, but you just kind of hang around there. Joy the good songs, a good service, amen. That I'm part of the church. Christ is the head of that church. I'm going to be taking me home soon. We're preaching a series called Amazing Moments from the book of Revelation, just the title, and we're looking at certain things and just kind of trying to follow the Lord as we go. So we preached on the sixth seal last week. We're going to preach on the 144,000. I have a typo here. I have 14400. Anybody know what that number is? 1,400 something? 14,000. So I left out a zero, but we won't leave out the zero here when we preach. Revelation 7, verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. No, that doesn't mean that the earth is flat. That's north, south, east, west as the points of the compass. Okay. You say, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, let's move on. Amen. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. That was the gift, to hurt the earth and the sea. That was the ability, the authority. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Amen.
And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And they were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
That's right.
Father, thank you. That's God, you help us tonight, this morning, to preach. God, to teach as well as we go through these thoughts. A lot of false doctrine concerning this passage. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us today, God, to preach your word, to rightly divide it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I told you before, there's some things I'm willing to die for, but I'm pretty confident I'm right on my doctrine on this. There are a lot of problems with comparing the Scripture with Scripture, where some people just don't compare Scripture with other Scripture. They just take things out of context to fit their religion or fit what they want. We're going to try to look at a few things this morning as quick as we can about these 144,000. There's a lot of doctrinal confusion about this. The Seventh-day Adventists, they believe that this applies to being faithful over the Sabbath day. And you apply that, you're faithful over that, that you'll be part of the 144,000. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and a couple of different things, when they first started their religion, their cult, I believe it's a cult. When they started out, they believed that they had a heavenly hope of doing this, and they were going to be part of that 144,000, kind of like when the saints come marching in, you're going to be in that number kind of thing. But then their base grew bigger than 144,000.
Yeah.
So now you got to strive for that heavenly hope. But if you don't make the 144, then you can have an earthly hope. You can be off the earth when the Lord comes back. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of this earth. And I want a heavenly hope. And so I gave up. I'm not part of the 144, neither are you. And you say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I don't believe not one of you here have enough Jewish blood in you to qualify for this one.
That's right, preacher.
All right. But let me get, this is future as well, obviously, some things that can take place here. But also another doctrine here that kind of has connected to this is a replacement theology, where they replace the people of Israel with the church. They pull them out, they're no longer valid, and they push them out and plug the church into those things. So I want to address that a little bit this morning as well. I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 31. Jeremiah 31. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, Jeremiah mentions about a covenant that he has with Israel. And I want you to understand that even in the book of Romans, in chapter number 11, Paul said, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. That's what he said concerning throwing Israel to the side. Israel is still part of prophecy.
Right.
These 144,000, the Bible said, are the tribes of the children of Israel. And it even goes so painstakingly to go through every tribe. It omits Dan and Ephraim because of their idolatry. And it puts Judah first instead of Reuben. And I think I know why. Jeremiah 31. Look at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Judah's mentioned first in Revelation. Yeah. It's mentioned here. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. He is prophet, priest, and king. He's the Lamb of God. He is the judge of all the earth. He's the whole package.
That's right.
Verse 30, wherever we are. 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. For the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Now, obviously, some of this is talking about the time we will enjoy during the millennial reign and even from hereafter. But in verse 35, it said, I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. Verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day. Do y'all believe that the Lord giveth the sun for a light by day? Right. You believe he's creator?
Right.
And the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night. Do y'all believe he made those?
Yes, sir.
Which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Are those ordinances ever going to cease?
Yes, sir.
So they'll never cease to be a seed before him forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, and you can't search them,
right.
You can't measure them, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that have done. And they deserved it.
Yeah.
And so did we.
That's right.
But he's not done with them. And here in the context of this, he's going to put the seal of the living God in the foreheads, just like the mark of the beast will be upon those who have rejected the truth and have received strong delusion, the mark of the beast in the time of the tribulation. God's going to put a special seal on the foreheads of these 144,000. Now, they have a special seal, my first point. Y'all probably thought I was almost done. They have a special seal, verse 3. And the Bible says, saying, Revelation 7:3, get back to Revelation if you can, 7:3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Revelation 9:4 says this, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither eat green thing or any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. The judgments upon this earth and the tribulation will affect those who have the seal of the Antichrist. This 144 will be protected in this tribulation because they have a special seal. Now, I got to thinking about that. A seal of protection. There are seals like the Roman government puts on seals, but there's a seal like the Holy Ghost puts on. Amen. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. This symbolizes an appointment, an anointing, a power being set apart for the preaching, the service of the kingdom of God. These group of people, they have something special. They got a special seal upon them. Now, Moses, when he come down from Mount Sinai, he had spent some time with God. He started shining.
Right.
Had something special on him.
That's right.
When he got down around the children of Israel, they couldn't look at him. They put a veil or a sack over his head. It covered him up. Amen. These 144,000 are going to stick out.
Yeah.
They're going to have the seal of God on them. And they're not going to be here to get married and do all those. They're going to be virgins, the Bible says. There's got some different specifications for them. They're going to be undefiled in a defiled world, pure when they're surrounded by impurity. And it also says in the book of Revelation 14 here, it says they're not going to be defiled with women. They are virgins. That means they're men. I don't care what goes on in our society today. That means men.
Right.
These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They're followers. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. I believe connecting to these prophecies. There was no guile found in them, and they were without fault before the throne of God. So in Revelation 7, they go out to do the service. In Revelation 14, they're around the throne of God in heaven. Amen? They're there in that scripture. Now, the Bible also teaches us about this thought of first fruits. And I want you to listen to Romans 11. I'm going to try to hurry. Romans 11:25, Paul said, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery.
That's right.
Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness, as he's talking about Israel, that has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The dispensation, the changing, the age where the Gentiles come in. That time is now, and that time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. And the Lord's going to send the 144,000 out, which will be a first fruits of these promises of the scriptures that he gets, as we read a while ago, of others. And the Jews are going to become believers. Can you imagine the disciples? With their anointing, their message, their connection to the Lamb of God, what they did in this world, what's going to happen when 144,000 of them are set loose. It's going to be an amazing event during the time of the tribulation. He didn't cast them away forever. And the Bible said if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, understand this, when God cast away Israel, he didn't do it forever. God forbid, what Paul says.
Right.
But that, listen, this is Romans 11:15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that's how I got reconciled.
Right.
I was in the world. I'm a Gentile that got in because he pushed Israel to the side. He grafted me in. Now, if that happened when Israel got cast away, Paul says this, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? There's some spiritual things going to be happening in the tribulation period.
Yeah.
God's going to put these men to a special prophecy that they have. They have a special service. Revelation 7, turn with me there, back there, if you're there. If you're not there, I'll catch up with you in a minute. Verse 9. Behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people. All these tribes that are mentioned in the previous verses break down 12,000 times 12. That's 144,000. 12 from each tribe that is listed there. Even the tribe of Joseph, which it was Ephraim and Manasseh, his two sons. Now it's Joseph. I believe it's because it's connecting us to the grace and the typology of who Joseph is. He is a type of Christ and a man that understood the favor and the grace of God and knew what it was to be cast out, be in a pit, and elevated and raised up in a new way by the hand of Almighty God. They have a special service. There's going to be a great revival in the tribulation.
Yeah.
That's what some people are hoping to. Preacher, I'm going to ignore all your preaching and I'm going to get saved in the tribulation period. That's not how it works.
No, sir.
To quote that commercial, that's not how any of this works.
No, that's right, preacher.
The Bible says if you have received and rejected the truth of God, you're going to be sent strong delusion.
That's right. That's
and you're going to believe a lie. Those who never rejected the truth, they will hear it for the first time, and many of them are going to be this number here. Look, there's two different groups. John said, after this I beheld, after all this 144,000 came, he goes to a second part, a great multitude which no man could number. Can you number the 144,000? But this number here says you can't number it. So it's got to, listen, use some common sense, church. These are two different things. And they're of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. And they stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. It's a symbolism of rejoicing and praising. Amen. And they cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God.
That's right.
Which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb.
Amen.
All the angels stood around about the throne. All the angels. Y'all hear that? Gabriel, Michael, every one of them. All of them stood up. They stood around the throne. And the elders and the four beasts. And the elders represent the church, I believe, in typology, surrounding the throne. And they fell before the throne. The whole myriad of everything and everybody that mattered at that moment bowed down on their faces. And they worshiped God. And they sang, amen, blessing and glory. And wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That was a boring service, wasn't it? Can you imagine John sitting there? This is amazing. Now one of the elders came over and said unto me, What are these? Y'all with me in verse 13?
Yep.
What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. I don't know, you know. Amen. That's what that means. He said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. Them servants preach the gospel of the kingdom. The grace of God is what we've received in our time.
Right, yeah.
But the gospel still centered and anchored around the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Right.
And they received it. And many of them that no man could number of all nations are part of that group that gets saved in the tribulation period. As I mentioned again, it was those who did not reject the truth. They were not damned. They did believe the truth. They didn't have pleasure in unrighteousness. They received it. Okay? At that time, those who rejected it, like you right now, if you reject the gospel message, don't expect to go through the tribulation and hear the truth.
Right,
and then all of a sudden receive it then? No, you'll take the mark of the beast in your forehead or your hand.
Right.
That's where you'll be. Because you'll be sent strong delusion.
That's right, preacher.
But us that are saved, we're sealed, not in the forehead, but sealed in the heart.
Hey.
Sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise.
Right.
Like a good old can of vegetable soup that's been sealed real good until the day of redemption when you pop the lid off.
Yeah.
Eat it up. Amen.
Come on, man.
I'm sealed. One preacher, Billy Kelly, I think it was, he said he was so saved it was pitiful.
Yes,
he did. So saved is pitiful. Amen, it's pitiful. All right, let me move on here.
Amen.
They have a special service, the gospel, in all its different forms. I've studied so much, it's about making smoke come out of your brain. And I'm going to tell you this, it's still centered around the Lamb of God.
Right.
It's still the blood, and it always will be the blood. And every time you turn around, somebody's saying amen and talking about salvation and talking about the Lamb. The Lamb always signifies a life given, blood shed, blood atonement. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
That's right, preacher.
The glory of heaven will always be centered around the grace of God, the salvation He provided, even the saving of those in the tribulation. That's pretty head scratching. The Bible says that the angels desire to look into the things of salvation. The angels are going to be standing up when this tribulation crowd, these Jews had rejected Christ and would have heard the gospel. Now they're going to be saved in the tribulation period, and also many other Gentiles will become believers. A number no man can number. Amazing. 144,000 are a part of that. That's who they are. But that's not you. These are Jews, male Jews, virgin male Jews of the tribes of each one of these that are listed. And some tribes in the normality of how it's listed are left out, like Dan and Ephraim. Amen. They're left out because of their idolatry and how they turned away and turned others away from God. And I believe Judah is mentioned first because it's one mentioned in Jeremiah 31. And every time I think about Judah now, the word Judah means praise. And I never can disassociate the tribe of Judah from Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
That's right.
Now, I'm almost done. Y'all know y'all don't believe that. I probably left the whole page out or consolidated something, but I don't really care. Last point. Never saw this before. I'll be honest with you. I've never really thought much about this. They have a special seal. They have a special selection, a special service. Wherever I was, they have a special song. Special song. Turn with me to Revelation 14. I never thought about the 144,000 being singers. But they got a special song. Look at verse 1. John's up there. And I looked. Now he looked when they told him to look. He wrote when they told him to write. And I'm sure he was looking around when they didn't tell him to look. And he tried to write one time in chapter 17, I believe it was, about the seven thunders. He was going to try to write it down, and the angel said, write not. So he wrote not. We don't even know what it means. We don't even know what it's going to be. We don't even know what it was about. But here he is looking again. Lo, a lamb. There it is again. It's like every time we turn around, there was this lamb. Now there's vials and there's angels and there's judgment. But boy, every once in a while, it lined up and there was a lamb. And he stood on Mount Zion. This is S-I-O-N. This is a symbol of Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, amen. This is in heaven, not on earth. Not the one that was cast down and the wall torn down and the temple torn down. And not the one with the Ark of the Covenant was taken. Not the one on earth, the one on in heaven. And he stood on that Mount Zion. And with him, 144,000. Having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. And that's something that's explained before concerning when Jesus speaks. Amen.
Praise
and when
God.
He's talking. And as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers. Harpers harping with their harps. Almost sound like that song at Christmas we sing. Whatever, 12 days of Christmas, right? Harpers harping with their harps. Get your tongue twisted on it. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Now, when you see the Lamb and you see the throne and you see somebody that's there that don't belong around there, are there, I promise you there's going to be some worship.
Right,
I promise you there's going to be some songs breaking out. There's going to be some praises. When you and I get to heaven, we're going to realize we don't belong there, but we are there because the Lamb is there. Amen. Because we have believed upon the Lamb. We have been covered by the blood of the Lamb. And this 144,000 are there with the Lamb. They are singers. I knew that that's not what you first thought about. Oh, I know. Next time you trip up one of the people that come up with you with this cult stuff. 144,000. Oh, yeah, I know. They're a bunch of singers. You're going to disarm them a little bit. Well, that's not at all what we were going for. They're the first fruits. Of the Jews saved in the tribulation, that the fruits that got to see in their own life, the great multitude that got saved when they just pointed people to the Lamb.
Yeah.
And the book of Revelation, listen, it has a lot of sorrow, a lot of woes in it.
Yeah.
We've already experienced that in the short time we've preached through it. There's going to be such blood, such judgment, so much death. It has already been poured out, and this has not even got started good. This is just a little snapshot of something that God let us see. But there are more things that are going to be poured out upon the earth in the book of Revelation in between these chapters and even afterwards. But here, God allows some rejoicing to be seen. Some singing takes place. There's the Lamb. There's the 144,000. And here comes a song. No man could learn that song, but the 144,000. Boy, that would cause a church split down here on the earth.
Yeah.
You can't sing that song, John. It's like, who do you think you are telling me I can't sing that song? Well, God said that nobody knew it. And understand it. It wasn't just knowledge, but they had to learn it.
Yeah, that's good.
I wonder if they learned it when they were partly on the earth, or it all revealed when they were around the throne with the Lamb. But they learned that song, which were redeemed from the earth. Now, I've got a song of redemption I'm going to get to sing in later.
That's right.
It's revealed in chapter 5, and there's some other things that we'll be rejoicing in doing when we get around the throne. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to be looking around too when I get up there. I got a feeling I'm going to break out singing once in a while too. And I'm probably going to be singing some songs I ain't never heard before.
Come on, preach.
But this is a song only they could sing. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. This is a special group. It really is. And to their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. You think about this group. They're shown in heaven, around the throne with the Lamb, and they start singing. A real joyful song has to be. Amen. It's a song of deliverance. And I'm going to tell you this. He's always, always since I got saved, the reason I sing.
That's right, preacher.
He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise. There's going to be, if you think when you, if you get to heaven, it'll be through the blood of the Lamb. And when you get to heaven, if you think you're going to get a chance to quiet and rest and peaceful, that place is going to be loud.
Yes, sir.
Yes. There are seraphims that fly around. They got wings covering their eyes, wings that they're flying with, and wings they're covering their feet of. And they're going around the throne of God night and day. They only stop for one pause in the scriptures, and I'll bring that out in a couple of weeks. But they only stop one time. But the rest of the time, they're always in the background going, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." All the time. Can you imagine? Either you'd want to go back down here, or you want to get in up there. I think I'm going to get in. Amen. What a song that will be. All about the blood of the Lamb of God, thanking God, providing himself a lamb. Even that group gets it and understands what it is. But the Bible teaches us that we're part of those who are blessed who have not seen, yet believe. I've never seen him. I know y'all think I have seen him, but I haven't. But I have met him. He lives within my heart. We sang that song a while ago, Brother Donnie said, "He lives." Ask me. You ask me, or just ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's going to write his name. He's going to put his knowledge in their hearts. But he already has put his knowledge in my heart. I'm so glad I'm saved. I don't need to be the 144,000. I cannot be the 144,000. But I am Brian, and you are who you are. And Jesus died for who you are. He shed his blood for you. He loved you, and no one ever loved you like Jesus loves you. So next time you come to church and you, "I can't sing," you need to tune up. Amen. You need some help. Sister Becky, y'all, some of y'all know Miss Hensley. You come on to the piano. Miss Hensley would not sing in church. I don't know why. But she ended up having a stroke and ended up in a nursing home. And I kid you not, we had service one day, and here's how she came into the kitchen, to the dining room. I never saw her lips move singing in a church service. I don't know why she didn't, but God sure enough showed some stuff to her in that nursing home. He disconnected some wires and reconnected some right ones, and she come in them services and asked her to make it be playing the piano, and Miss Hensley come in there clapping and lifting up her hands and having herself a fit. And I thought, boy, I want to do it now. I don't want to get all unwaveled in the nursing home, amen. I want to do it now when I know why I'm doing it, amen. I don't know that she didn't know then, but I know this. If I come in clapping, it's because I want to have my hands in the air, amen.
Yeah.
It's because I know who the Lamb of God is. The casting away of Israel brought in you and I. And the scripture says in Romans 11:15, what shall the receiving of them be? It brought life from the dead. All these things that will happen concerning Israel, who I do not believe God is through with. There's so many pieces of that pie already revealed in my heart. I have been raised from the dead spiritually.
Yes, that's right.
Listen, I've the new covenant. I have a new covenant, and it's called the blood covenant, the New Testament written in his blood.
That's it.
I have the Spirit of God living within inside of me. I have the reason now to rejoice. And when I get to heaven, I know I'm going to be looking around, but whenever I get there, whenever all this starts connecting all together, amen, I'm going to recognize some of this crowd.
That's right, preacher.
There's 144,000. There's Mama. That might delay me a little bit, amen, when I see some people I know, amen. I don't know Moses, but I'm sure I'll recognize him because Peter and John and James recognized him on the Mount of Transfiguration.
That's right, preacher.
I'm not going to be dumber when I get to heaven than I am now. Please don't do that to me, amen. When the one I want to recognize the most,
amen,
is the Lamb of God,
yes,
that taketh,
yes,
away the sin of the world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you this morning, do you know that you're saved by the grace of God? Do you know that blood's been applied? If you do know that without any doubt, would you raise your hand? Several hands in the air. Looks like almost all of them. That's a great testimony. What about this, church? You know that you're saved, but what about your heart? Is it right with God? You know those sins have been paid for, but there might be some sins now that need to be confessed. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those same sins have been paid for by that same blood of the Lamb. But He wants you to worship Him. He wants that relationship restored. He wants you, listen, He wants you to, He wants that knowledge of Him that's in your heart to allow that worship to come forth. He wants to give you life and that more abundantly. He wants you to have joy unspeakable, full of glory. He wants your life to have victory. Anybody here say, preacher, pray for me. I've had a lot of defeats instead of victory. I've had a lot of discouragements. I've gone through a lot of trials. Several hands up. Several more up. Now, if you know you're saved, the next step is to make sure you, as I read that scripture, Lamentations, we need to search our ways. We need to search our heart. Ask God to search our heart this morning. And if we know that we're saved, then to get those things right in our life and get back on track to walking for the Lord and walking in the light and serving Him as He is the light, church, because we're living, I believe, in limited time that we have before the Lord comes back. And I want to live with joy unspeakable. I want to live with victory. That means there's going to be times that it's not joy. That means there's going to be times when it's not victory. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some fights. But listen, the Bible says, blessed be the name of the Lord and thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This 144 will find themselves surrounding themselves around the Lamb, singing a song. I've been practicing that a little bit along the way down here. When I get to heaven, the Bible teaches that 24 elders is a symbol, I believe, of the church that's around the throne. They're going to cast those crowns down at His feet. Because I'll tell you that, as Scripture says it, worthy is the Lamb. Worship involves the worth of God. And the ship of believers who believe He's worthy to be praised. A group of people in that fellowship towards that worth of God. Do you believe He's worthy to be praised? How long has it been, church, since you really praised Him? He said about 10 minutes ago, preacher, well, that's good. I hope it is. But some of you still haven't got in. You're still kind of holding back. You can worship on the outside, but that heart, as I read in Lamentations, you need to lift up your heart with your hand back to God. It said, restore my soul. Renew my heart. Lord, make it new again. Lord, touch me. It's been so long. And some of you, you've been in church faithful, grinding through, trying to keep coming, but you still got distant. You can still get backslidden in church. You know that, don't you? Oh, let God touch our hearts and our lives. That we might worship the Lamb and break forth in song. We might worship and understand the value of the redemption, the purchase, payment made for our sins. Jesus died. Gave His life's blood to pay for my sins. You and I that are saved, we're redeemed people. But we're not the only thing and only people He redeemed. There's going to be a myriad, a multitude in heaven that cannot be numbered. And all that crowd will find themselves magnetized and gravitating toward the Lamb of God. Even in Revelation 21, it says the Lamb is the light thereof. It's all about Him. For our lives are always out of order unless it's about Him. May we get our eyes on Jesus and focus on the Lamb of God. The altar's open if you'd like to come. I encourage you to do that. There's something about a step of faith, a step towards the Lord. There's something about bowing in an altar and trying to get your heart settled and right. something very powerful about that. Sister D. Lamentations 3. Verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God in the heavens. Some of you have been hiding your heart from God a long time. Well, don't you take it out and lift it up to God. Worship Him again. Or give your heart and let Him operate on that heart for the first time. This redemption, this restoration, this reviving is just a prayer away. The Lamb's always seen sitting on the throne and representing dominion, standing on top of His creation. As that Lamb took that sealed book and opened it, He's the only one that had the rights to do it. The only one that had the love to do it. Father, thank You for giving us a good day in Your house. Lord, I pray that You'll just draw our affections, our focus, our thoughts unto the Lamb of God. Lord, may You be the preeminence, the center of our life. Lord, when You come in clouds of glory, Lord, many of those Jews will see You whom they pierced. And they're going to acknowledge You then. But Lord, I know You in the free pardon of sin. And I know You, Lord, personally in my heart as my personal Redeemer and Savior. May we never get over, may it never wear off, about the nail prints in Your hands, the crown of thorns on Your head, the blood, the life, the love You gave to us. Thank You for our hope, blessed as it is, in Jesus' name.